Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, what? I mean, at this point, nothing can surprise us, right? This, you know, everything, really, like with schedules, if they change the whole schedule, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we really need to be prepared for anything, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of the approach the NFL has taken, you know, for a while now, where it's sort of wait and see, you know, and they've had the benefit forever of time. And, you know, baseball didn't have that benefit, basketball didn't have that benefit, hockey didn't have that benefit, but, you know, really for the last 3 months, they've had the ability to sit back and really not cancel anything that significant. You know, you can argue over the value of OTAs and mini camps, but, you know, just as far as the front-facing stuff that the public really sees, they weren't really calling off anything, you know. And now we're getting closer to crunch time, and I believe we're, what, 4 weeks away from the start of training camp. And,
yep.
I think that they'd hoped that maybe we had a clearer picture of what the country would look like at this point, but we don't. And so I think they're going to, you know, again, leave themselves leeway and try to figure out over the next few weeks how all this is going to look. You know, and when they put those protocols out, you know, whatever that was, 3-4 weeks ago, guys, the 9 pages of protocols, I think, you know, most teams viewed that as a press release. It was like the NFL saying, this is how seriously we're going to take all of this. You know, but now with, you know, sort of spikes in some of the areas that weren't affected before, I think there's a lot of stuff they've got to consider there.
Albert, you think that we'll have any preseason games at all? And if we do, how many?
You know, I don't know, Dustin. I mean, I think the max is 2. You know, they want to, and part of it, so there's reason for all that, of course. They're going to need an acclimation period, and that's going to wipe out the first week of the preseason. And then the 4th week, I think the idea there really was, do we really want players and coaches mixing with each other that close to the start of the season, or would we rather give them 2 weeks where they're just on their own, sort of self-quarantine? I think they felt like they'd have a better chance of having healthy teams when the season starts if they canceled that 4th week of the preseason. So that was the idea with those. You know, I think part of the issue right now is the timing on all of this and how much of an acclimation period is going to be allowed. Because, you know, what the Joint Committee on Health and Safety is recommending is 3 weeks. And they're basing a lot of it on data they got during the 2011 lockout. Well, 2011, there was a spike in hamstring injuries, and there was a spike in Achilles mm-hmm. injuries. And so, you know, they've sort of been working around some of that stuff, and the Joint Committee's recommended 3 weeks of acclimation. If camp starts July 28th, that puts you at August 18th, which is 2 days before the first or the second week of preseason is supposed to start. So there's like a huge like amount of like negotiation that has to go on with that, and how does that work, and, you know, how are you going to actually play any preseason games if guys aren't putting on helmets until, you know, really mm-hmm. the 3rd week in August. It's difficult. And, you know, I've said this all along, guys. Like, there are really three tent poles here. And one's the start of camp, one is the preseason schedule, and one is the start of the regular season. And they weren't going to be able to have all three go as planned because of the acclimation period. They seem pretty determined to start camp on time, and they seem pretty determined to start the regular season on time, which means, you know, for right now, at least the preseason has become the thing that's going to get sacrificed.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, it seems like every time the NFL makes an announcement, or I shouldn't say makes an announcement, but every time there's news that comes out that reportedly the NFL is going to do this in terms of the preseason or going to do this in terms of training camp, that almost immediately J.C. Tretter puts out there, hey, the players haven't agreed to this, and he did it again with the letter, and it was a great letter that he penned the other day. Is there some brewing discontent between ownership and players?
Brewing.
fair enough. But I mean, additional discontent.
I think there's definitely. I mean, like, look, they've been negotiating this, and I think for the most part, it's gone better than it has in other sports, you know, and part of that's because, you know, they're not talking about money quite as much as the other sports because they're expecting to play a full season. And so, you know, that's why it's been a little less combative than maybe some of the other sports have been. You know, that said, I think part of what's always kind of irked the players is when the NFL starts making declarations before, you know, the players and the owners have agreed to anything. That was sort of what happened earlier this week, where, you know, I think the owners, you know, sort of wanted to get it out there, and this is probably to breed consumer confidence. Like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do, and this is what it's going to look like. You know, a lot of the season ticket deposits and everything else, or the season ticket payments are due. And, you know, the players, of course, are looking at that and saying, well, wait a second, we didn't agree to anything yet. What are you talking about? And so, you know, I think that there's sort of some competing interests at work there, and as you guys know, it doesn't take much for those talks to go sideways. But my feeling is the overall tenor of them has been more positive than they usually are. So I think as far as scheduling all this stuff out, they'll be fine. And mainly because I do think everyone in the room genuinely wants to have a season.
Right. Do you think the season will be pushed back at all?
I think there are teams that really want that, Dustin.
But the Browns,
you know,
do.
Here's the reason.
I would say
I've talked to 6 or 7 teams that are very much in that camp, and I haven't talked to all 32. But I wouldn't be surprised if the number's half the teams.
Wow.
You know, and the reason why, and this is pretty simple, but the reason why is because they've got the flexibility to move the Super Bowl. And if you start October 1st or October 15th, well, you know, then you've got a chance to study what happens in basketball. You have a chance to study what happens in hockey. And you'll be closer to the science coming up with answers as far as therapeutics and potentially a vaccine. So that'll give you a better chance maybe by the end of the year to be putting fans in the stands. And so I know that there are a lot of team executives and owners that are sitting there saying, why don't we just press the pause button on this? Why don't we just slow play this a little bit? And if we move the season back, we can allow for an acclimation period for the players. We can allow for a more reasonable looking training camp. And we don't have to rush all of this. And so that argument sort of fallen on deaf ears with the league office. The league office has really pushed forward with the idea of starting week one on time. But there is a lot of support within the ranks of the teams for pushing the season back.
Here's what I don't understand about some of that, though, Albert. And again, nobody knows for sure.
The second wave, are you?
Well, I mean, I don't think the first wave has ever ended. So I don't know about a second wave or whatever. But the point is, like, yeah, I mean, I think there's hope that there's going to be a vaccine by the end of the year or early next year. But that's far from a sure thing. And even if we get one in January or December, like, it's not like in 2 minutes, everybody's going to be okay, right? It's going to take a long time and a lot of people won't even get vaccinated. So there's still some complications there. And so I just feel like if they do start on time and they have to at some point shut down the season, that gives them less games they need to play on the back end when they come back.
I'll just put it this way, guys. I've heard that argument.
Yeah.
I think if we get a second wave – that's bad enough to shut down football season.
Yeah.
The season's not coming back.
Okay.
I mean, like, I honestly, what I think it would take for the NFL to start the season and then all of a sudden in November or something, cancel it. Like, there's no way the union is going to sign off on players then all of a sudden just coming back and playing in April or May and then having to turn around and play again the following September. I have a really hard time seeing that. So I think a lot of people are focused on the idea of a second wave. I don't see that as a driving factor here. And I do think, like, the things that you brought up, the idea of the vaccine, the therapeutics, I agree. There's no, like, silver bullet here that's going to fix everything. But the idea is to make everything a little bit more manageable, you know. And if you can make things more manageable in a lot of different ways by pushing the season back, that's the benefit of it, right? So yeah. If you give the science a little bit more time, that's a good thing. If you give the players a little bit more time to reacclimate to playing football because they haven't in, for 6 months in a lot of cases, then, you know, you're gonna have a better chance of guys making it through the season healthy. You have that acclimation period, and you have a few extra weeks on the back end, then you got a better chance of playing a few preseason games, which will save you some revenue. And so I just think, like, and I agree with the teams like that are making this argument. It's like, if you got, you know, the flexibility to move the Super Bowl, like, can you imagine, like, if we're in a better spot in October, how exciting it would be and how ready everybody would be for the start of football? I think that's what these teams are looking at a little bit more than, oh, well, what happens if we've got to shut it down in November or December?
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it's hard to believe things would be significantly better in October than September. But to your point about shutting it down, I agree. I mean, I think the NFL is very unlikely to shut things down, period. Even if they, I mean, to get to the point that it would be so bad, I've been saying all along, the way things are going right now, like, and the amount of money involved, like it or not, I think the only way the NFL would shut down, in my mind, is if it was from the federal government, and the way the president is doing things right now, that ain't happening.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, if it's bad enough to shut it down, it ain't coming back.
Right. You know what that's true. Like, if it's that bad. But what if someone dies? What if someone dies, Albert? What if someone dies from it?
What if someone dies? I don't know.
This is crazy.
Mr. Negativity over here.
Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't crossed that bridge yet. Sorry, Adam.
it's just ridiculous. It's crazy that we have to talk about this stuff. But
Hey, Albert, when is the Hall of Fame ceremony and stuff going to happen?
Well, I mean, they do have what I'd heard was, and I think they announced this, was that it was going to be moved to 2021. But they have, they do have that ceremony in September that's still planned. I don't think they've canceled that yet, right? The Centennial Class. So, I sort of had the thought before that, maybe they could do the modern day class and the Centennial Class in that one weekend. I think it's in September. You'd probably know that better than me, Dustin, since you lived there. But it sounded to me more like the plan was going to be to move the modern day class to be inducted with the 2021 modern day class, a year from August.
I'm just pissed that you and I can't crash a party like we did Terrell Davis's party.
I know. It's too bad. It's too bad. I looked back at that photo too a little while ago. I had a great tan going. It's
your team was solid, dude. The one with Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Hey, Albert, do you think there's any chance?
Credit where it's due. He had a sick tan, too.
His tan was better than yours, I think.
I hope I'm golden like that when I'm his age.
Albert, do you think there's a chance the NFL will reconfigure the schedule at all to lead to less travel?
I don't know what you can do. I mean, just don't. I mean, look, the bubble concept just won't work in football. I know people have brought that up, but it's just too many people, and it's for too long a time. It's just it's logistically it would not work, and for a million different reasons. And so I think probably what they'll do is, they're going to just try to minimize the risk as best they can. And if the season does start on time, I think it's going to look different from city to city and state to state, just because this thing's being managed differently in a very different way from city to city and state to state. And, I think part of, and you've heard this now, and I think I've said this in the show before, but, is it possible that we have, I think I use the analogy with you guys, like, is it possible we have a half full stadium in Texas and an empty stadium in California? Well, that doesn't look like that's all that likely anymore. But you know, I do think it's possible that there is some variance when it comes to that.
Right.
And really the idea is that's another one of these things that's good for everybody, you know, where, you know, does it suck that it might, like, you know, screw up competitive balance a little bit? Yeah, but in a year when there's going to be, you know, a pretty significant revenue shortfall, I think the players and the owners are going to be resolved to try to make every dollar that they possibly can. And so I think, you know, in some cases it's going to lead to, and maybe at some point in the season, I don't know what will be in November. It could mean one stadium is 50% full and another is empty. It could mean, you know, I think it will mean giant tarps over seats in some stadiums. So, you know, I do think the business of football is something that's going to be really, really visible in how they handle all of this when we do get to the season. But I do think that the travel part of it is going to be somewhat normal with a lot of extra precautions.
Albert, are you convinced we'll have a season, though? Like, I mean, definitely at least one game. Like, will we get a game on TV, regular season, we can watch?
God, I hope so. I mean, I tell you guys, honestly, like, and sometimes, you know what's funny is, like, sometimes you report stuff about, like,
yeah,
well, this could happen or that could happen, and people accuse you of rooting against football. I promise you guys, right. Oh, I'm rooting hard for NFL football.
It's your job. It's what we love.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why I do this for a living. I'm rooting hard to get one more season of Justin Fields in Columbus, too. I wish I had a better answer. I mean, I think, you know, 2 weeks ago, and you guys probably would have been with me like this, with me on this, like 2 weeks ago, I would have told you 100%, like 1,000,000%, we were going to have, you know, regular season games. Now, I don't know if I'd be able to tell you that we were going to be able to finish the season, but I would have said 100% they're going to start the season, and they're going to be able to play at least some games. You know, now I guess, you know, maybe I'm watching too much cable news. I don't know, but now I feel a little bit less sure of it. You know, I do know some teams. I will tell you this, and you guys sent my column today. You know, there was one team, and this is really interesting. There are some teams that aren't letting their players take physicals. Their new free agents take physicals. So there are a bunch of guys who don't have their signing bonuses and have actually, like, gone into cities and want to, you know, meet the team doctor offsite, that they're not being allowed to take physicals. And I know at least in one case, a team executive was honest and upfront with an agent. And he said to the agent, my owner will not let me execute this contract because he's worried we may not have a season and he doesn't want to be handing out money that he won't be able to recoup. So,
wow.
I mean, it's really, you know, they're publicly going to put a brave face on this, but I can tell you that they're worried about it too, just like everybody else.
All right, Albert Breer, great stuff as always. You're the only man I know on Twitter who's been accused of being too liberal and too conservative at the same time. I don't know how that happens.
I guess that means I'm right in the middle, which is where I'm trying to.
Where you should be, where we should all be. Yeah. Thank you, Albert. We appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.